What stood out to you about Saturday's Democratic presidential debate? Which candidate do you think did the best or the worst? Did the event change your mind about who to support for the nomination, or did it solidify your choice? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, November 16th. We will talk with a guest political analyst about Saturday's Democratic presidential debate. We'll talk about how the candidates performed, the issues they discussed, and where the campaigns go from here. And we will have a special focus this hour on the political reaction to the Paris attacks. It shifted the focus of the Democratic presidential debate on Saturday. Originally, the debate was going to address mostly domestic affairs, but the ISIS attacks in Paris changed that. We welcome your questions, your reactions at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We will spend most of the program talking about the debate and the political reaction to the ISIS attacks, but at the end of the hour, we're going to give you an opportunity to sound off on what happened in Paris and how you want the U.S. and the world to respond. That's coming up at the end of the hour. Let me welcome our guest. David Cohen is a professor of political science at the University of Akron and a fellow at the Ray C. Bliss Institute of Applied Politics. And it's worth noting, he is a Milwaukee native and a graduate of UW-Madison. Good morning and welcome back to Wisconsin via the radio.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks thanks again for being with us, and thanks for being flexible. As when we originally booked you, we did not know that ISIS was going to attack Paris. That's right. This debate, it started with a moment of silence and the political response to the Paris attacks when that wasn't originally going to be the case.
Absolutely. It just shows how in the real world, things can change, you know, in a heartbeat and completely change the focus of politics. I mean, when, you know, people went to bed on September 10th, they didn't expect the next morning that the entire world would change in 2001. So it's really illustrative of how quickly things change, not only in the world, but also impact the political world.
Yeah. And this is certainly, many are saying this was France's 9/11.
Well, I don't think there's any question. You know, even though France had been attacked earlier in the year, the Charlie Hebdo, the attack on the Charlie Hebdo magazine, which killed a dozen people or so, that was a pretty horrific attack. But I mean, the fact that it was a coordinated attack across Paris, in which there were a lot of people involved, many casualties, a lot of terror that was spread. I mean, this you know, felt like 9/11 all over again.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you just first your general impression of the debate. What stood out most to you?
Well, the first thing was it was interesting that the Democrats scheduled the debate for a Saturday night, which to me is an indication they don't want anybody to watch it. Who watches a political debate on Saturday night? Pretty much nobody.
Except nerds like us.
Right, exactly. And, you know, the ratings for the debate were fairly low, and I don't think that's a surprise. You don't schedule a debate on Saturday night if you want people to watch it. And so, you know, to me it feels like the DNC is purposely scheduling these debates for times where not a whole lot of people are going to tune in, maybe as an attempt to you know, I guess, let Hillary Clinton kind of walk away with the nomination. You know, that to me is what it kind of smells like. I also felt that it was nice having only three candidates on stage, because you got a lot more policy depth, a lot more detail in the candidates' answers than anything we've seen on the Republican side. And, you know, part of that is because with the Republicans you have so many more people on stage. And secondly, I think, you know, the Democrats overall, if you look at the debate performances, they are much more versed on policy than the Republicans are.
Yeah. And did Did you have any thoughts on how the candidates responded? Who maybe did the best or not so good of a job responding to the ISIS attacks in France?
You know, they were all pretty consistent in their responses to the terrorist attacks in Paris. They all responded that the United States needs to not shrink away from this fight. I believe they all argued that, you know, the United States has to be you know, at the forefront of the fight, not necessarily the only only country waging this battle, but certainly with our European allies. And I think the most instructive thing, I believe all candidates said that we're going to need for this long-term fight against a very determined enemy, we're going to need the help of the Arab countries in the region. And I think that's crucial. I think if you, you know, go all the way back 20 years to the Persian Gulf War and you look at, for example, the amazing coalition that, that the first President Bush put together to combat the combat Iraq during the Persian Gulf War, it's going to need to be something like that. And so far, we really haven't had the cooperation of the Middle Eastern countries that are, you know, that are so crucial to, you know, waging a successful long-term campaign against a very, very dangerous and highly ideological enemy.
Let's take a listen to, first, Hillary Clinton's response about the U.S. role with ISIS.
It cannot be an American fight. And I think what the president has consistently said, which I agree with, is that we will support those who take the fight to ISIS. That is why we have troops in Iraq that are helping to train and build back up the Iraqi military, why we have special operators in Syria working with the Kurds and Arabs, so that we can be supportive. But this cannot be an American fight, although American leadership is essential.
Yeah. She took some flack for saying this cannot be an American fight. I think it was Jeb Bush who was saying, you know, of course America needs to lead this fight, and she kind of clarified those comments then the following day.
Yeah, I think I don't think she spelled it out very well. I mean, I don't think she was saying that the United States cannot be involved in this. We've been involved in this since 2001 and before that. I think what she was saying is that the United States cannot be really the sole country that is kind of waging this this war, and that, you know, other countries have to step up and take the lead at times. You know, we have to be there, provide intelligence. You know, I don't think there's any question that we're going to have to provide military support, especially air power. But it sounds like to me that she's reluctant and unwilling to commit, you know, for example, U.S. ground troops at this point.
Yeah,
even though we do have some troops there already.
Off of the debate, there's no question, or at least people are believing that the U.S. already is supplying the intelligence with France responding to the terrorist attacks by bombing ISIS sites in Syria.
No question. I mean, the United States is, and we have been, and, you know, we've been coordinating with the Europeans on this for, you know, decades at this point. But I think the key is we're going to need to get some of our Arab allies to really buy into this and to support this effort 100%, because after all, it's their regimes that are at risk. And, you know, if they continue to kind of drag their feet, you know, countries like Turkey, Saudi Arabia and others, and are not all in on this fight, it's going to make it very difficult. And it's those, you know, political systems that, you know, risk, you know, a lot of instability.
Does Hillary Clinton have an advantage in discussing issues of international terrorism, given her Secretary of State role?
Absolutely. I mean, it's an extremely complicated situation. And, you know, foreign policy is complicated to begin with, but when you're talking about, you know, international terrorism, and especially the, you know, the conflict that's happening in the Middle East, because we're not just talking about terrorism, we're talking about, you know, dictatorships, We're talking about ethnic rivalries. It's an incredibly complicated and fluid situation that is changing constantly. And without a doubt, her years as Secretary of State will help her to be able to be conversant in those issues. I do have to say, though, the other two candidates, Senator Sanders and Governor O'Malley, also, I think, did a very good job, you know, discussing the issues. You know, compare their answers to, for example, Donald Trump and his very, very simplistic answers when addressing.
Yeah,
you know,
we will hear their responses too, of Bernie Sanders and Martin O'Malley, coming up after we check the latest news. They did criticize Hillary Clinton's foreign policy stances, including her vote to authorize the use of force in Iraq, saying that this is one of the reasons why the Islamic State is committing terrorist attacks today. We will wonder what you think, what questions you have, your reaction to the debate, and the political reaction to the ISIS attacks in Paris. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org after the news. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with a political scientist about the political reaction to the Paris attacks and how the Paris terrorist attacks were addressed in Saturday night's Democratic presidential debate. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions, your reactions, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is David Cohen, a professor of political science at the University of Akron and a fellow at the Ray C. Bliss Institute of Applied Politics. We had a caller who couldn't stay on, but she brought up the point that Bernie Sanders did criticize Hillary Clinton's stances on foreign policy issues, including her vote to authorize the war in Iraq. Let's take a listen to Bernie Sanders.
I think she said something like, "The bulk of the responsibility is not ours." Well, in fact, I would argue that the disastrous invasion of Iraq, something that I strongly opposed, has unraveled the region completely and led to the rise of Al-Qaeda and to ISIS. Now, in fact, what we have got to do, and I think there is widespread agreement here, is the United States cannot do it alone.
And he thinks that we maybe bear more responsibility because of that, the authorization of the war in Iraq, Professor Cohen?
I think he's absolutely correct. I think history will demonstrate that really the turning point was the ill-fated invasion of Iraq, which not only overthrew the Iraqi regime and led to all sorts of turmoil in Iraq, but really catalyzed with much of the turmoil that was brought about by the Arab Spring. Following that, with regime change in Egypt and in Libya, what's going on in Syria. I mean, I think it's directly related to the invasion of Iraq. The Sunnis that were thrown out of power in Iraq really make up the bulk of ISIS at this point. And, it's not a stretch to draw a line, to the spring of 2003. And Sanders is right that Secretary Clinton did vote for the authorization. In fact, I believe during the debate, Secretary Clinton apologized for that, and she's apologized for it in the past, saying it was a mistake.
And let's take a listen to Martin O'Malley's response.
Libya is now a mess. Syria is a mess. Iraq is a mess. Afghanistan is a mess. As Americans, we have shown ourselves to have the greatest military on the face of the planet. But we are not so very good at anticipating threats and appreciating just how difficult it is to build up stable democracies, to make the investments in sustainable development that we must as a nation if we are to attack the root causes of these sorts of instability.
Is he right, too?
Yeah, absolutely. And we are very good at going in and breaking things, but it's putting things back together. We have a hard time doing. If you recall, Secretary of State Colin Powell's comments, you know, before the Iraq War, to President Bush, counseling him not to go in Iraq, and basically saying, if you break it, we have to buy it. In other words, we're going to have a plan to fix Iraq and the greater region, and we really didn't.
Let's go to a caller, Jeffrey in St. Paul. Hello, Jeffrey.
How are you doing today?
Pretty good. What is your reaction to the debate or the issue?
The debate, speaking of vast experience and knowledge as far as the ground war in Iraq and the initial invasion from the beginning, the middle, and the end of it, Senator Clinton's views, the standpoint on it, are accurate and to the point. When we left Iraq, Iraq was stable, and it was. Iraqi forces were trained. Iraqi military and police were trained. The same people that we were fighting in 2006 and 2007 were the same people that we were working with, and they were performing their jobs well in Iraq. As far as the instability in Syria and the surrounding region, that was something that was foreseen well in advance, called the power vacuum. When you take out one of the largest military forces in that region, you create a power vacuum. Al-Qaeda had been around long before we invaded Iraq. They were around during the Cold War when the U.S. military trained them to fight the Soviets in Afghanistan.
Yeah, Jeffrey, I'm sorry. What is the point that you think needs to be made about the candidates and how they responded?
Senator Clinton's point as far as committing ground troops, and that is what is required. You cannot pick and choose your fights. You're going to take out a threat, you have to take it head on. Committing just Air Force to it doesn't eliminate the threat. Picking and choosing your fights using just intel does not eliminate the threat. What it does is allows the threat to grow and gain sympathizers worldwide. Henceforth, the terrorist attack that happened in France, done by sympathizers. You have to take the fight to the enemy.
All right, and Jeffrey told our producer that he's a Clinton supporter, but he thinks that troops are the only way to win this. Professor Cohen?
Well, I think he may be right in that, he agrees. I think he's going to agree with a majority of the American people, because even before this attack happened, if you looked at polling, there was a majority of Americans that were supporting sending U.S. ground troops to fight ISIS in Iraq and Syria. And that was back in August. After an incident like this, there's bound to be much more support in the country for actually committing a significant number of ground troops. Whether or not the administration is going to be able to resist that kind of public pressure remains to be seen. They probably will in the short term, at least. I think he's right. You know, it's not very often that air power alone will be able to turn around a conflict. Especially one as broad as this, and it's not going to just be if we do end up sending troops or more troops than we have there currently. It won't just be the United States alone. I think it'll be a broader coalition, certainly made up of the French and Germans, and I think there's a significant chance that perhaps NATO will get involved as an organization, and I think that would be very helpful, because it really cannot be the United States fight alone, but the United States has to be a significant part of it, seeing as how we are the largest military in the world.
We are talking with David Cohen, a professor of political science at the University of Akron. We're talking about the terrorist attacks in Paris, how they shifted the focus of the Democratic presidential debate on Saturday, originally going to be addressing mostly domestic affairs. The attacks and foreign policy did take a considerable portion. And we are welcoming your reaction to what the candidates had to say, what stood out to you, the political reaction to the Paris attacks, and welcoming your questions and comments at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Talking mainly now about the debate and the political reaction, and we'll also talk about some other issues addressed in Saturday night's debate, but at the end of the hour, for the last 10 minutes of the hour or so, we want to give you an opportunity to sound off on what happened in Paris. What is your reaction to what happened? How do you want the U.S. and the world to respond? How about this debate over accepting refugees and the concern that the Syrian refugees might also have some undisclosed terrorists amongst them? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Well, let's talk about those refugees. Martin O'Malley was enthusiastic about accepting refugees. Clinton and Sanders both seemed to support taking in 65,000 refugees, half the number the UN has set as a goal for resettlement by the end of 2016. All three candidates supported screening them carefully for terrorist connections. What was your response to that? Those responses, David Cohen?
Well, I think we have to kind of wait and see. I think that proposal to take in 65,000 Syrian refugees may be complicated by the fact that it appears that at least one of the terrorists that perpetrated the attack, I believe, had a Syrian refugee papers.
Yes.
And if that is true, I think it makes it very, very difficult for our American political leaders to justify or at least make an argument to accept large numbers of Syrian refugees, regardless of the the moral benefit of doing so. I just think it puts them in a very difficult position, and I'm not sure at this point, seeing as how if one of those people was connected with the attack, it's going to make it difficult for really any country to accept those refugees.
Yeah. What about, I mean, how do you think is this issue and the candidates' responses, how that will appeal to, how it will go over with Democratic primary voters?
Well, I think, I think Democratic primary voters on a whole will be okay with it. I think it'll complicate matters for whoever is nominated going forward in the general, because I'm not sure general election voters will be as sympathetic as Democratic primary voters, especially those that tend to lean Republican. So I'm, I think as far as the primary, I don't think it's going to be a big deal. But I think as we go forward, it may be something that a Democrat's going to have a hard time explaining.
Yeah. Did anything else stand out to you when it comes to the foreign policy issues that were discussed at the debate?
No, I just think, it's interesting that all three of the candidates really seem to have broad agreement on the terrorism issue. And I think you're going to see a lot of agreement on the Republican side as well. I think the Paris attacks were one of those kinds of events, one of those moments that, can really bring a lot of clarity, and people will kind of coalesce around a particular position, because it's one of those events that people are going to remember for a long time, and that's going to kind of define foreign policy, I think, in the short term going forward.
What about, and I know you may not have tallied the Republicans versus Democratic responses to this, but how does this issue play out on a national election in terms of the GOP versus Democrats?
Well, I think it without a doubt helps Republicans, because traditionally, if you look at public opinion in the modern era, Republicans get higher marks from the American public, more support on national security issues. The American people trust Republicans more on national security than they do Democrats. It's certainly, even though 9/11 happened on the Republican president's watch, people rallied behind that administration. They certainly benefited during the 2002 midterm elections after 9/11. And so I think it plays into Republican hands. I think the timing is very unfortunate for Democrats. And I think you're going to see, when the Republicans have their next debate, a very hardline response for just about every person on that stage.
In fact, I don't know who said it. One of the headlines I saw was a commentator who said ISIS just won the presidential election for Donald Trump. Do you think so?
I disagree. The ISIS certainly, the ISIS issue may play a very large role in the presidential election, but I think when we're talking about ISIS, when we're talking about global terrorism, I think people are going to rally around individuals that seem well-versed on the topic. As far as the candidates in the Republican field, I certainly wouldn't put Donald Trump at the top of that list. I'd put him right near the bottom. And I think an issue like this certainly helps candidates that are more experienced with foreign policy or with policy in general. And Trump is experienced with neither of those.
You know, the 9/11 attacks came up in the responses at the Democratic presidential debates in a maybe an unlikely spot. Let's take a listen to Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton back-to-back here talking about why Hillary Clinton is supported so much by the Wall Street banks.
Here is the major issue when we talk about Wall Street. It ain't complicated. You got six financial institutions today that have assets of 56%, equivalent to 56% of the GDP in America. They issue two-thirds of the credit cards and one-third of the mortgages. If Teddy Roosevelt, a good Republican, were alive today, you know what he'd say? Break them up. Reestablish Glass-Steagall. And Teddy Roosevelt is right. That is the issue. Now, I am the only candidate up here that doesn't have a super PAC. I'm not asking Wall Street or the billionaires for money. I will break up these banks, support community banks and credit unions. That's the future of banking in America.
Not only do I have hundreds of thousands of donors, most of them small, and I'm very proud that for the first time, a majority of my donors are women, 60%. Represented New York, and I represented New York on 9/11. When we were attacked, where were we attacked? We were attacked in downtown Manhattan, where Wall Street is. I did spend a whole lot of time and effort helping them rebuild. That was good for New York, it was good for the economy, and it was a way to rebuke the terrorists in our country. We had attacked, so, yeah. You know, it's fine for you to say what you're going to say, but I look very carefully at your proposal, reinstating Glass-Steagall, is a part of what very well could help, but it is nowhere near enough. My proposal is tougher, more effective, and more comprehensive because I go after all of Wall Street, not just the big banks.
John, please.
All right, so who came out on top on that one, Professor Cohen?
Oh, I think Senator Sanders absolutely came out on top of that one in that nobody likes Wall Street except for Wall Street bankers. And so even many Republicans, especially middle-class and working-class Republicans, do not like or trust Wall Street. And, Sanders, one of the keys to his popularity is this populism that he espouses and his battle against Wall Street. And I don't think there's any question if he were elected president, you know, Wall Street would be his first and almost exclusive priority in the beginning. And so I think Secretary Clinton's answer, in which she links her support from Wall Street to the 9/11 attacks and her work after those attacks to help the financial district, I think it was a pretty weak connection, and it's certainly something that her Democratic and Republican critics jumped all over during the debate, you know, on social media and certainly afterwards. It's a pretty hard connection to make, that she can say, well, she has all this Wall Street support because of her 9/11 work. You know, most people look at it as she has Wall Street support because she is sympathetic to Wall Street, and so was her husband when he was president.
We're going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll be back with David Cohen, a professor of political science at the University of Akron and a fellow at the Ray C. Bliss Institute of Applied Politics, shifting away from the debate in particular to just get your reaction, your opportunity to sound off on the terrorist attacks in Paris and the response to those attacks? How do you want the U.S. to proceed? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with our guest political scientist about the attacks in Paris and how the world is responding, how the U.S. is responding. We're allowing you to sound off. How do you want the U.S. to respond to the attacks in Paris? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We have been talking with our guest about the Democratic presidential debate on Saturday about how the candidates responded to the Paris attacks, but now we will give you an opportunity to talk just in general about how you felt when you heard about the attacks in Paris and what you want your political leaders to do about this, if anything at all. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is a professor of political science at the University of Akron and a fellow at the Ray C. Bliss Institute of Applied Politics. David Cohen is also a Milwaukee native and a graduate of UW-Madison. And you happen, Professor Cohen, to be teaching a class this semester on these issues. Tell us what you're teaching.
No, I teach, you know, it's one of the classes that is part of my rotation. I teach a class on homeland security, and I also teach a class on weapons of mass destruction.
I see.
It's not my primary area, but, you know, since 9/11, it's been an area that I've obviously been interested in. And, I just finished up the WMD class last semester, actually.
Well, many commentators have been criticizing And some, just in general, people are wondering why did the U.S. and why did many around the world, for that matter, respond so passionately? Why was there such an outpouring of sympathy for Paris and the attacks in Paris when we don't respond that way, when there was a similar attack in Beirut hours before that took 43 lives and injured many more? Or, you know, we didn't get up in arms when there's a plane crash in Egypt brought down by a bomb. Why do you suppose we were so passionate about these attacks in Paris?
You know, that's a great question. And unfortunately, I think we're used to that kind of violence in the Middle East. I mean, it's just something that I think Americans and Westerners have this conception of the Middle East as a violent place, and you know, there's been terrorist incidents you know, over the decades, and it's just something that happens over there. But you know, one of the reasons why 9/11 you know, had such a passionate response, why the Paris attacks have such a passionate response, is it gets Westerners out of their comfort zone, and all of a sudden, oh my gosh, those kinds of problems are happening here, and they can happen here. And then all of a sudden, instead of it being an abstract, you know, argument of, you know, should we help them, should we not help them, it becomes, you know, real life. And my gosh, you know, if I go to the grocery store today, is somebody potentially going to be a suicide bomber and blow it up? We just, it brings the fight home, and I think psychologically kind of crosses the barrier of, it can't happen to us. Well, you know, attacks in Paris, attacks in New York City, Washington, D.C., certainly demonstrate that these kinds of incidents can happen anywhere, and it's got Americans and other Westerners feeling insecure.
Let's go to Dave in Madison. Hi, Dave.
Yes, hello. I think that the terrorists, what they're trying to do is get us to panic and make a really stupid decision, because they know that if you attack the United States, then they may bull rush into a stupid decision like we did when we were attacked by the Al-Qaeda, and we ended up going to war in Iraq.
Yeah, so what would be the stupid decision, Dave?
That would be to immediately step up our attacks without a thought and to equate this with the end of civilization.
Mm-hmm. Reaction to that, Professor Cohen?
You know, I think Dave is right. I mean, I think without a doubt, one of the purposes of 9/11 was to draw the United States into a much wider conflict in that region. And I think the invasion of Iraq will go down in history as one of the worst foreign policy decisions made, you know, by this country in its history. It's opened up a huge can of worms. It's opened up a Pandora's box of trouble, which, you know, if you look at the situation today and the rise of ISIS, that is a direct result of that decision to go into Iraq. And I think, so the caller rightly points out that, you know, we can be very reactionary and not think things through. And I think it's very possible that, we may, in fact, you know, end up sending lots of troops over there and not thinking about necessarily the end game or how we can most effectively, you know, fight this not only military foe, but ideological.
Yeah, let's go. Will in DeForest has, I believe, a similar reaction. Hi, Will.
Yes, I think we look at issues in an isolated manner. We look at what happened in France, and we don't look at what the root cause of it was. And this country has been going throughout the world ever since it was founded, destroying, removing leaders in countries that create these problems. And until the American people realize that is what's happening, it'll never happen. I was in Vietnam, the same thing. It was a war of choice. And this government chooses the wars it wants, and then when they get the repercussions from it, it tries to back off and to label the people terrorists. And I'm saying terrorists, to me, being a vet and watching people suffer and die because of our power, our might, it's no different than dropping bombs on people from 32,000 feet or using drones to go in and kill people. So, to me, that's a terrorist act.
Yeah.
But when you are dealing with people that don't have the power, the machinery that we have, and they use crude methods to do the same thing that our country do all over the world, is ridiculous.
Well, thank you for the call. But I'm wondering, Professor Cohen, is there a peaceful solution to ISIS and the terrorist attacks?
I don't think so. First of all, let me just say your caller is right. I mean, ever since we became a global power, we've gotten really good at overthrowing governments across the globe, even democratic governments, in order to install you know, friendly dictators that would better help American foreign policy. No question about it. We have a very, very long and sad history, you know, doing that, especially, you know, starting at the height of the Cold War. And I think, does it end peacefully? Does it have a peaceful solution? I don't think so. Because I think what you're talking about in terms of ISIS and Al-Qaeda is a very radicalized, highly ideological enemy. One that cannot be negotiated with. I mean, even at the height of the Cold War, we were able to negotiate with the Soviet Union, and that's because we were dealing with a rational actor. The terrorists that are involved in ISIS and some of these other related groups, they have no fear of dying. They have no fear whatsoever that, you know, what they do will potentially, you know, hurt them or hurt their people. And so it's not a force that you can really negotiate with and reason with. And so I don't see a solution to where this ends in a peaceful manner.
Yeah. John in Richland Center is with us now. Hi, John.
Hi. I have 3 points. First, we
don't have time for 3 points. Can you, unless you're really quick, John?
Okay, I would like to make Paris is symbolic. World War I and World War II were fought as Paris was the goal. twos, tighten our belt, spend some of that defensive money on creating jobs and homeland security. Three, immigration. Ellis Island, we need to know the pedigree and papers. They should learn English because militant Islams are terrorists.
Well, let's, because of a shortage of time here, John wants more and better screening of any incoming migrants. Do you suspect that's going to happen, Professor Cohen?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's a given, without a doubt. And I think as soon as the Paris attacks happened, I think, you know, immediately the United States government ratcheted up its security. And I think for the, at least for the foreseeable future, I think we're going to be on a heightened state of alert.
Michigan and Alabama's governors are saying that they will refuse to relocate Syrian refugees after the Paris attacks. Well, do you suspect more states are going to double down on that?
More states may try to double down on that, but you know, in any conflict between federal and state law, the federal government wins. So I'd be interested to see the result of that. And I think that's a very knee-jerk, silly reaction.
Yeah. Well, in our final moments, what are you expecting to hear debated over the Paris attacks in the days to come?
Oh, I think, you know, the question is going to be what kind of involvement can we expect on the American side? You know, are we going to see, you know, more troops in the region? And how successful are we going to be in terms of, you know, better getting with our allies in the region, including the Arab countries, to fight what is really a long-term global conflict?
Thank you very much for being with us.
I appreciate it.
David Cohen, professor of political science at the University of Akron and a fellow at the Ray C. Bliss Institute of Applied Politics. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Christy Taylor, and to Chris Molina for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. Coming up next, it's our state capitol report. We'll hear from two assembly members, Republican Dean Knudsen and Minority Leader Peter Barca. We'll talk about what's coming up in the state assembly today, votes to overhaul the Government Accountability Board and campaign finance laws. Coming up tomorrow at this time, we are going to talk about what is happening to the neighborhood tavern. It's closing. We'll wonder why coming up in our next hour.